Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is the Paul Revere Show. I'm here with the chairperson of the Wisconsin Election Commission, fellow commissioner Ann Jacobs. Hello again, Ann. We were here and we were talking about the failures of the special counsel Gableman report as it relates to the 2020 elections. You know, the president, former president today, said that there was election irregularities or problems with the election. And he focused on, he talked about some rhinos. I'm assuming rhinos are Republican in name only, are going to get primary, which is an implicit threat, I think, from the former president that if there are Republicans that don't agree with him, they may actually get a primary in these gerrymandered maps that we've all faced, but that's a different issue. So what are the key or some of the key provisions of this report, and why do Gableman's allegations, his report, fail? So one, there's been a lot of talk about the Center for Tech and Civic Life grants. There's been a lot of talk about that. Can you tell our listeners what that whole issue is?
What it is sort of this created, let's back up. It is very common for municipalities to obtain grants in order to allow them to effectuate certain kinds of policies. So the Parks Department might get a grant to build bike trails. The Transit Department might get a grant to green up the buses. So there's municipalities get grants all the time. CTCL was a charitable organization created with money from lots of rich people, including Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, that put out money for election grants and said to municipalities, send us your wish lists of everything you could possibly want. And so here in Wisconsin, over 200 municipalities sent in grant requests.
Right. I want to say that again, right? 200 cities, towns, and villages.
Correct.
Because all we hear in Gableman is five, right?
Right. So
I think it's important. There were a lot of people and a lot of villages that were primarily Republican got the grants.
Correct.
Okay. Right.
And what was interesting also is, as far as I understand, every community got the money they asked for. So if they asked for $500, they got $500. If they asked for $5,000, they got $5,000, and so on. The five largest cities asked for the most and got the most. Now, this isn't particularly surprising. Number one, they have more people. Number two, when you've got professional grant writers and you're being told, ask for everything, you ask for everything, and so they did. And so they were given the grant monies. And basically, the grant monies were on, had sort of two or three different goals, as I understand it. One of which was COVID. They wanted to make sure that there were ways for people to vote safely. And two was voter outreach. There was a concern in 2020 that because of COVID, we were going to see reduced numbers of voters. So they wanted to make sure to do voter outreach. And then thirdly, or among other things, was a desire for underrepresented communities to have access to voting. In other words, they wanted to go out and reach people who don't typically vote. That tends to be minorities, people with lower income, disabilities, and the like. So that's where all that money went. And the different communities took that money, including the five largest cities, and did exactly that. And the conspiracy theory on the right that sprung up was that this was somehow some sort of nefarious plot to, and I think actually in one of the clauses he mentioned specifically voters of color to get them out to vote, as if it were a bad thing, which it is not, quite obviously. So that's what these attacks have been on that. Now, meantime, people have gone to court to argue that these grants shouldn't be allowed. They've gone to court with in the Wisconsin federal courts and across the country, and every single judge has shot that down, saying there's no limitation on the rights of municipalities to obtain these grants. And then here in Wisconsin, the allegations, I believe, were that this was some sort of bribery scheme, that people were being bribed by being told to get out and vote. judge said, nope, not that. So we're left with this sort of hanging chad of a conspiracy theory that just won't die. Even though the courts have said it was legal, even though it was to just get people out to vote and get out to vote safely. And all Gableman does is recite the same conspiracy theories that have been in the same lawsuits over and over and over again to somehow imply that that diminished or affected the election. And that quite definitely is not true.
That's right. Donald Trump lost in 2020. Fair and square. And every time he whines about it, he's the biggest loser on the planet. But Gableman had a couple of other items, and we're not going to be able to get through all of them tonight. But let's cover a couple of the other sort of hot topics. There was a whole issue about voters in nursing homes. Right? And we were involved with that. So what's the lie there? We can start it here before we get to the break.
Okay. So the biggest lie, and I'm going to lead with that and then we'll back into it. The biggest lie is that this was the only way that nursing home residents were legally allowed to vote, was through something called a special voting deputy. And the lie is that they're claiming that the only way people in nursing homes can vote is with a special voting deputy. That's quite simply not true. It gets repeated a lot and it's wrong. And in fact, what the law says is, so we should probably explain, a special voting deputy is basically your own personal voting person who goes into a nursing home and helps people vote. The problem is during COVID, people weren't allowed in nursing homes. And the governor did not exempt poll workers from entering nursing homes. The federal government did not exempt poll workers from going into nursing homes. So basically, special voting deputies couldn't go into nursing homes and help people vote because of COVID. Also, by the way, this was probably a really good idea, because at that point, the elderly in nursing homes were dying at incredibly high rates due to COVID. So keeping unnecessary people out was actually a very good idea. And the special voting deputies were going to be in private places with these old folks who were dying of COVID. It was just not a good idea. So the Elections Commission had to act. And the other part of the statute that said, we're going to send in special voting deputies to nursing homes, also said, if you can't send them into the nursing home or the resident's unable to see them, then the resident can get an absentee ballot.
And now we're going to hold on that. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back, explain that a little bit more, and put to rest this notion that somehow Gableman's report has any validity. We'll be right back, folks.